Let's get to the agenda from yesterday morning. We'll start first. Anything on citizens' comments?
We didn't have anybody for citizens' comments, so gave us a chance to review the miscellaneous accounts payable claims, but being an off Monday there, just not a whole lot to look at there either, so we just waited for our first items of business.
And Board of Commissioners meeting reconvened after that. Joyce Deaver, Tri-Valley Public Transportation, presenting a report and requesting support.
That's correct. We kicked off the first agenda item with Joyce Deaver from Tri-Valley Public Transportation. She actually came and visited with us a year ago there, asked if Red Willow County would consider supporting their transportation system there. At that time, we tabled it and decided at a later time that we would not a year ago. But she come back and gave us some more updates, and over the past year, the ridership in Red Willow County alone, even though their estimate was showing 14%, we were up about 28%. So there's a lot of activity, and certainly they run four minivans and transport people back and forth, not only for medical issues, but also groceries and those types of things. So they do provide a lot of different services. And there's times when they'll haul different residents there from their home to North Platte or Kearney to the doctor also. So they do make longer trips. But just the use alone in Red Willow County obviously dictates that there probably is a need for us to consider supporting this. Most of their funding comes through federal and state funds, but there is a 25% local match, and that's why it's necessary to reach out to other entities for the support. So yesterday, Joyce had a letter of recommendation or asking us to support in the amount of $1,050 for this coming fiscal year, 2021-2022. And then the following year, it would bump up to $4,500. So we would have to definitely look at those numbers a year from now. But yesterday, we did approve that $1,050 contribution, and certainly appreciate what they do for the residents of Red Willow County.
Next up, open bids for the 2021 Armor Coat Project.
That's correct. Yesterday was the date and time we'd advertised to receive bids. David Blau from Miller & Associates had presented us a list. He'd actually sent the bid information and specs out to 11 different contractors throughout the state, and as of yesterday, we received only one bid, and that was from Figgins Construction out of Red Cloud, Nebraska. Figgins has done a lot of work for not only Red Willow County, but other communities around this area for a lot of years there. Yesterday, they presented us a bid, and this was strictly application only. It does not include the cost of oil prices or gravel, which the county purchases on our own. They come in with a application rate of 47 cents per square yard. So on the two different projects, project number one, which is right south of McCook, it'd be road 714, then going south on road 385, and then back to highway 83 on drive 712. That amount for the application is $17,314.80. Second project, road 396, going north out of Indianola. Same square yard price at 47 cents. That grand total come in at $58,963.85. So the contractor's application price alone for the total of both projects is $76,278.65. This is a price that is quite a bit higher than we've seen in past years, and not really quite sure why it come in at that rate. I know a year ago we were 36 cents per square yard, and earlier in the spring I know David was hoping it was going to be basically right at that 40 cents. So yesterday, we did go ahead and table this issue for a couple weeks just so we could reach out and visit with Figgins Construction. They did not have anybody present in representing their bid yesterday, so we need to have some discussions there. And definitely on the 21st, we're also going to have gravel bid openings there, so we'll compare those prices. And who knows, we may have to downsize the overall project, because with these types of numbers and the projections for oil and gravel, we could be looking at $220,000 just for the two projects. And that, you know, puts the armor coating at almost $21,000 a mile, which is just, you know, it's almost unheard of. I can't imagine, you know, we were hoping that it would be $16,500 at the most. So there is a drastic change here. We know cost and everything we do is going up, but certainly this was an eye-opener yesterday. So we'll revisit this in a couple weeks.
Not cheap, is it?
No, it's not. And I don't know if people always give a lot of thought to the expense of having asphalt roads. I mean, I know they're nice and definitely nice to drive on when the weather's wet, but there is an extreme cost to it, not only just in this general maintenance of armor coating, but in the patchwork that goes along with it. So, you know, there's going to be some major decisions that might have to be considered in the future, so we'll wait and see.
We were just, you bring this up, and my family and I were in some country roads at a friend's house about a week or so ago, and just north of the McCook area. And of course, a lot of gravel. And my daughter asked me, why don't this asphalt? And I went, all these roads out here, if you put asphalt in every single one of them, oh my gosh, the cost would be outrageous.
It'd be astronomical. And quite frankly, we just couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Because then you put it down, then you got to maintain it, and over the years, oh my gosh, the price would just be booming.
You know it. I mean, you just see it driving around on the streets here in town. You know, it's the same way. They're constantly fixing potholes that show up throughout the different times of the year, and it's certainly no different on these county roads that are asphalt too there. So it's a major cost when you figure the aggregate alone for just patchwork's almost $130 a ton too. So that weighs out pretty fast, and certainly you can spend a lot of dollars in a hurry. So
next up, public hearing regarding heritage areas.
That's correct. We've actually talked about this quite a bit over the past couple months. This is really the Kansas-Nebraska Heritage Area Partnership. There's 49 counties in Kansas and Nebraska together that are drawn in this map. And with that, there's 26 in Kansas, 23 in Nebraska, primarily the southern tier of the counties in Nebraska here. That would engulf 22 million plus acres there. There's a lot of concern. This heritage area project has absolutely no comparison to the 30-30 plan that's being proposed by President Biden, but still, this is a federal plan that's been in the works for a while and just kind of coming to the forefront. There are several issues that go along with it. So yesterday we had advertised to have a public hearing to get more comments from the general public. We ended up, we had, looks like, 7 different people comment on this particular project. Kathy Wilmot during the public hearing commented, and her big deal is there is a resolution out there that's going along with this to try to stop this in its tracks. And as of yesterday, she thought there was 23 or 24 counties between Kansas and Nebraska that have now adopted resolutions to oppose this. I know looking at maps that I've reviewed, I believe there's 4 counties of the 23 in Nebraska that have done resolutions. But along with this, I mean, there's just a ton of other environmental regulations that go along with it, and different issues that concern a lot of people. And Kathy Wilmot, along with Brendan Funk, Pamela Frex, Tim Krauss, Gary Frex, and Michael Hitt, they also spoke in opposition of this. We had one person that was in favor of this. Dale Cotton showed up at the meeting, and he feels that this is still a voluntary program and that it would help tourism. But there's just a lot of negative concern about what this would actually do. And, you know, we all know the more control we give to the federal government, that the worst things are going to get for all of us there. So I don't know. This was strictly a hearing yesterday to get comments so that the board would have more information yet. Obviously, all three of us have been reading up on this and educating ourselves more, but certainly we're going to bring this back to the table next Monday and have a consideration whether we adopt a resolution to oppose this or not there. So that'll be one of the main topics next week, and certainly yesterday was strictly a public hearing to receive those comments. So a lot of good comments and a lot of concerns from citizens about.
The governor's been making his way around the state with a number of these town halls talking about
it. Yeah, I mean, and that's why I try not to confuse it with the 30-30 plan, because Governor Ricketts has really been promoting the 30-30 plan, but he has made statements in regards to the Kansas-Nebraska Heritage Area Partnership Plan also there. So I think if you look at not only public support, but what some of our leaders are dictating, that this is probably something that we definitely need to consider opposing, and certainly we'll have that discussion next week.
Next up, a couple of resolutions.
Yes, and these both strictly deal with what we done a couple weeks ago as far as giving the authority to call our Hillcrest nursing home bonds. It's hard to believe how fast 5 years goes by, but the last time they were issued or renewed was in 2016. At that time, we renewed them at a much lower interest rate. The first resolution, number 1420, basically just gives the authority to call these bonds, and then the second one, and pay them off, excuse me, and then the second one, 1421, would be renewing these bonds for a much lower interest rate. And when we talked to Tobin Buchanan from Kearney here a couple weeks ago, he was certainly looking that our interest rates would definitely be below 1% there in that 0.90 range. So certainly going to be some significant savings there. Probably the least amount would be close to the $125,000 range that we'll save in the remaining 10 or 11 years of these bonds. So certainly anytime we can save that kind of money, it's definitely needs the consideration. So we approved and or adopted both of those resolutions, so if interest rates start changing, he can jump on it real quickly here. I know he's got can't do anything before 90 days, and these bonds come due in October, so that basically puts us into July, but certainly we're not far from that, as you know well know anyway. So
had a couple of items in your consent agenda, and I noticed one of them, number 6, says budget preparation. Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, it's it's hard to believe it's that time of year, and yesterday was a fairly busy meeting, and certainly as we move forward, they're all going to be that way. Yeah, we had a lot of consent agenda items yesterday. Item number 1, as always, is approving minutes. That's a housekeeping matter each and every week. The second item, approved miscellaneous accounts payable claims. The grand total there was $916.64, all strictly self-insurance claims. Item number 3, a surplus scanner for the clerk's office. She'd purchased this scanner back in 2014. It's just flat died on her and doesn't work anymore, so obviously needed to declare it surplus property so they can dispose of it. The 4th item, approved pledged securities for the county treasurers. These were dated 6-1 of 2021, just showing where the money is invested in different banks in Red Willow County. The fifth item was requiring chairman's signature on a special designated liquor license for JBN. They are going to be holding an event out at Marlene's Kitchen on 8/28 of 2021. It's a wedding reception, and they estimate approximately 400 people there, so they did apply for that license approval. Item number six, chairman's signature for a letter of engagement for Daniel D. Miller, CPA, for the 2022 budget preparation, and this is the item you just brought up. Last year, Dan's fee was $3,900. This year, he upped it a couple hundred dollars to $4,100. But certainly, he's done a good job for us over several years here, and definitely signed that agreement with him. And we'll definitely be going to work on budgets very soon. But before that, the last item was chairman's signature on resolution number 1422 in regard to scheduling property protest hearings for 2021, which is always an exciting time. And we schedule a lot of dates here, strictly because you never know how many protests you're going to receive. People got till the end of June to file a protest if they disagree with the valuation of their property. So we set June 28th as one of the dates. That day was just 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. And then several days are an all-day session. We went July 1st, July 2nd, July 6th, July 7th, July 8th, all 8:30 to 12 and 1 to 3:30, excuse me. One more afternoon meeting, which July 12th would be in correlation with a county board meeting, so that was just 1 to 3. And then the remaining, if necessary, is July 13th, July 20th, and July 23rd, all-day meetings again. So depending on how many protests we receive, you can see that we might be very, very busy in the month of July, not only with budgets, but hearing the people's concerns as far as their valuations there. So,
and then one more with the sheriff's and district courts clerk's monthly revenue reports.
Yep, we wrapped it up with the reports. Sheriff's report is basically his paper service for the previous month, and then the district clerk of courts, Lori O'Day, turned in her revenue report, and that wrapped it up. And we basically were at 11 o'clock yesterday when we finished up. So
a busy first meeting for the month of June, wasn't it?
It absolutely was, and I know next week we got another big public hearing on some easements down around Indianola and some other issues. So obviously I foresee every meeting from here on out being fairly busy all the time. So
all right, county commissioners meet every Monday morning, 9 o'clock at the courthouse, and if you want to come on by to check it out, you can.
Yes, we certainly welcome people to attend, even if they just want to sit in on the meeting and hear how we're taking care of business. But just like I told the group at the public hearing yesterday, I said, really, for us to properly do our jobs, we definitely need to hear from the people and see what the concerns are, and that gives us a lot better view of the action that we need to take care of there, and certainly appreciate that. I mean, it's not always comments you might want to hear, but certainly you need to know what's on people's minds.